I had quite a violent time. It was quite difficult. You know, I usually, when I talk to people, I usually start off explaining to them where I lived, how we lived before the Holocaust, to give them a little idea of, you know, that we had a regular middle-class life. And then when the Nazis came in, that changed considerably. We had to move out of our apartment. We had to go into a designated Jewish house. Budapest did have a ghetto, but it was quite small, so they designated different buildings as Yellow Star building. They painted the big Yellow Star on the front gate, became a Jewish house, and Jews had to move in there. Four, five families sometimes into an apartment. So living conditions became quite impossible. The places were filthy, dirty. They had no means of hygiene because of so many people in the apartment jammed in. Sleeping was extremely difficult because people were all over the floor, practically had to tow. And without any considerations, we had old men, young babies, crying, coughing. You know, it was just impossible. And then there was tremendous starvation. The Jews had no means of earning money. You couldn't work, you couldn't go to school. If you had money, it was soon depleted. If you had some extra clothes, which very few people had, you could barter for it, but otherwise, there was nothing. And then they started the deportations. So what happened is that they surrounded one of these buildings, herded the people out of them, lined them up, took them to the railroad station, and put them onto the wagons to take to Auschwitz, most likely. Most of the Hungarian Jews wound up in Auschwitz. Well, of course, you know that story. The young kids and women and old people were immediately gassed. The day they arrived, most likely they were gassed. The young men who could still work were put into work, forced labor. The Nazis occupied Hungary quite late in the Holocaust, because Hungary was fighting on the Nazi side. And, you know, I can go into the political reasons why, but the Nazis occupied, the German army actually occupied Hungary quite late. By the time they occupied it, we kind of knew what happens in Auschwitz, because people did manage the fuel to escape and news traveled out. So people pretty much knew what awaited them once they got there. I tell the story to people that my parents had a friend, a woman, and she was not Jewish, and she was a member of the Nazi party. And she walked around with the armband of the swastika. She, if I remember correctly, had a gun on her hip. I won't swear to it, but that's my recollection. And she came to us one day, and she told my parents that she will take, I have a twin brother, by the way, that she will take my twin brother and me to her place if she could save us. We were given new names that we had to learn as little children. And we were warned never ever to tell our real name to anybody. And we had no choice in the matter. We had to go with her. And she had a little tobacco shop somewhere in Budapest. I cannot remember exactly what the location was, but probably near the outskirts. And she lived behind this shop in a dingy, dark little room. And there wasn't even a door between the shop and her room, just a curtain. So she was not a rich woman. And she took us there, and we lived with her for some time. But she had a young woman working for her, helping her in the shop. And this woman became very suspicious and kept asking us children what our name is, what our real name is. She wouldn't believe the name that we were given. And one day, she came to me with a little piece of candy and told me I can have it if I tell her my real name, my real Jewish name. You see, I must tell you that my real name was not Sally in those days. My name was Schwartz. And I wanted that candy. And I told her. And this lady who we lived with overheard this and fired the girl, immediately threw her out of there. Because the law at those days were that if you hide a Jew, it's punishable by death. And there was no lawyer and trial, none of those things. They caught you hiding a Jew, they shot you on the spot. That's as simple as that. So she immediately had to take us back to our parents, to the Jewish house. By the time we got back, somehow, I don't know how, my parents got some papers. I don't know if you heard the name Raoul Wallenberg. This Raoul Wallenberg was a Swedish diplomat. And he gave Jews Swedish citizenships. And also took us over to a different building that had a little plaque in front saying this building is Swedish diplomatic property, in the hope that the Nazis would recognize this and wouldn't take you from there. By this time, you know, Budapest was under siege by the Soviet army. And the Germans stopped the deportations to Auschwitz. And that's when they started the death marches out of those camps and taking the people away from the front. But the killing of the Jews in Budapest never stopped. It was taken over by the Hungarian Nazi Party, the Arrow Cross Party. And they did the same kind of things. They herded the people out of the buildings. They took them down to the River Danube, which runs right up in the middle of Budapest, right through Budapest. They lined them up on the banks and executed them. The building where we were at that time was pretty close to this place. We couldn't really see this, but we could hear it. And I tell the people that I heard as a little child the cries and the screams of the people as they realized what is going to happen. We heard the orders being shouted, and we heard the machine gun fire. And we And we just sat there and listened to the silence and knew that they were all dead. So we also knew that sooner or later they will come for us. Because they couldn't care less whether you were a Hungarian Jew, a Romanian Jew, Swedish Jew, or any other kind of Jew. It made no difference. And one day, they did come. And they told us that tomorrow morning, we all have to be lined up in front of the building. And anybody who stays behind will be shot on the spot. And of course, we knew where we were going and why. And the next morning, the Soviet army took the streets that we lived on. And that is how I survived. It was just one day. If the Soviet army had been one day late, I would not be here today.